Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Salam. Thank you very much. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Tanya, very much for that lovely introduction. Can I just say, not only is Tanya going to be a fantastic MP, but she will do this country the service of removing Vince Cable from Parliament, which is a wonderful thing to be doing. It's fantastic to be here in Birmingham, everybody. But before I go any further, I just want to check one thing. Is everybody here? Are we all here, by and large, proud Conservatives?
Yes.
Are we proud of the oldest and most successful party in all Western democracies?
Yes.
Do we intend to fight the next election under the Conservative banner?
Yes.
And no other? Are there any defectors?
No.
Or here? Are there any quitters or splitters?
No.
Anybody be feeling a bit yellow around the edges?
No.
Like a kipper? If I can quote a great Midlands author, he which hath no stomach to the fight, let him depart. And he wasn't Midlands author, he then of course came to London. Because I genuinely think, or indeed she that hath no stomach to this fight, let her depart. I genuinely think this is a fantastic time to be a Conservative. And I think in the last few weeks, particularly last week, we've seen the beginning of the end of the tapioca-like consensus that Ed Miliband could somehow osmotically infiltrate or inveigle himself into power by pandering to his core vote and relying on the gross unfairness of the electoral system. The light's dawning scales falling across the country, the chattering classes are waking up to the reality that victory is within our grasp in the next 8 months. And I think last week in Manchester you saw the final explosion of the myth that Labour is doomed to succeed. Because in setting out what should have been his programme for the country, the Labour leader gave a completely surreal speech in which he described how he tried to find material by randomly accosting young people in London parks, desperately hoping for inspiration, and yet he failed in all of this to mention the economy. As George rightly pointed out the other day, my friends, it can only be called a Freudian slip. His subconscious rebelled. The baggage handlers in his memory went on strike, as indeed they would. As indeed they would under a Labour government. And they refused to load the word deficit onto the conveyor belt of his tongue. Because on this central question of politics, he knows it's we Conservatives who are taking the country forward. And Labour would take us back to the Brown-Blair-Balls Miliband regime that gave us the worst recession for 100 years. And we don't want to go back, do we? We don't want to go back, because I think things are going well for our country now, and I think they are on the verge of going even better. And I know that when I say this, people will object that I'm a mere municipal toenail. I'm just the mayor of that strange place called London, where things are supposed to be so different. Indeed, I noticed over the last few weeks and months of the recent campaign in Scotland, there was a slight note of not just of Anglophobia sometimes, but of Londonophobia in some of the rhetoric of our friends in the Scottish Nationalist Party. A suggestion that Londoners were culturally, politically, economically divorced from the rest of the country. And to listen to some of the London bashing, you might think that our capital was a modern Babylon, with billionaires being plied with hot towels on the top deck club class of their swanky new buses, or guzzling pearls dissolved in vinegar while lolling back on the padded cushions of their Barclays hire bikes. And of course, whilst I reject this rubbish, I would have to admit that one of the main reasons why I don't want this country to lurch back to Labour is that the current story of London is one of amazing success, and success that in so many ways helps everybody in the city, as Theresa May has just said, getting crime down, which is of such fundamental importance to everybody throughout our city. We've got a murder rate roughly reduced by 50% since over the last 6 years, to pick a period entirely random. And we have bus crime, bus crime down by about 40%, which is obviously not crime committed by buses, which is very rare indeed now, but crime committed on buses. And I echo much of what Theresa said, and I would also like to pay tribute to the thousands of men and women of the Metropolitan Police Force who work to bring crime down in our city. And I think they are doing an absolutely fantastic job. And if you pressed me, I would admit that we are going through an unprecedented era of improvement in our transport infrastructure, the Victoria line running 4 miles an hour faster than it was when I was elected, the Jubilee line 3 miles an hour faster. We have delays on the tube now down by 40%, air conditioning coming in even on the deep tube, Crossrail on time, on budget, a monumental feat of British engineering. And next year, under a Conservative mayor, we will begin the first extension of the tube for 25 years as we take the Northern Line through to Battersea, the first time anyone has put together enough private finance to build a railway in London since the days of Margaret Thatcher. And thanks also to George. George is under right here, but it's being raised privately. If you pull my toenails out, folks, I would confess to you that post-Olympic London is by most measures the most popular and most successful city on earth. We had 16.9 million tourist visitors last year, knocking Paris off the number one spot. We're building a superb bosky garden bridge in the middle of the city, doing fantastic things in the Olympic Park. I could go on and on, but I won't, because the gist is that London is going gangbusters. And my point to you today is that if someone tells you that that means London is somehow different from the rest of the country, and above all, if they try to imply that what happens in London is irrelevant to the economic fortunes of our nation, then I would respectfully tell them that they are talking through the back of their neck. Because at this conference, we can say with pride that London remains not just the capital of England, but thanks to the wisdom of a clear majority of Scots, it is the capital of Britain and the capital of the United Kingdom, and will remain so. And will, I believe, remain so for our lifetimes. You have permission to purr, if you so choose. Dave. And When the great flywheel of the London economy turns and it drives, as it does, faster and faster, it drives the vast and intricately connected locomotive that is the British economy. And you've heard in the past how I've talked about the impact of London transport contracts on the rest of the economy, investing billions in Lubers from Liverpool, long-haired Lubers, presumably, buses from Ballymena, the congestion charge office, as I said in Coventry, sending me irritating letters asking me for money and signed by the Mayor of London. You've heard me point out, as I did during the recent campaign, there would be no financial services industry in Edinburgh if it was not for London. And now, let me give you a yet more concrete, a yet more substantial, solid and tangible example. Behold this brick, amigos. This brick was given to me yesterday in Newcastle under Lyme, a constituency where we Conservatives, don't worry, I'm not going to throw it, are only 3 points behind Labour, a place where we have a real chance of winning for the first time in a century. And they gave it to me in a factory that only started last year and is now propelled by the positive benefits of Help to Buy, and is now capable of making 80 million of these objects per year. And if you want to know, if you want to know why, why that factory has started to hire and fire, hire people and fire Brits. Hire people and fire Brits, I should say. In huge numbers, look at the skyline of London, writhing and sprouting with extraordinary growth, like a speeded up David Attenborough nature film about the return of spring to the Canadian tundra. And that was why Ed Miliband was silent on the key issue facing our country. That was why his subconscious got to him and implored him not to mention the economy. Because the difference between us and Labour is that they talk and we do. As Ed Miliband's great hero Engels almost put it, an ounce of Tory action is worth a ton of Labour theory. And look at the contrast. What is the real answer to our housing problem? Is it to put a new tax on housing, hammering those who find themselves living in a property whose value inflates through no fault of their own, punishing those who've worked hard for years to pay their mortgages, and those who hope to pass on something to their children? Is that the right way forward for our country? Or is it to do what all great conservative administrations have done over the last 100 years, and to build homes that people need, and to help them onto the property ladder? And I'm proud to say, in London, it's not just that we've been able to build more affordable homes in the recession than Labour ever did in the boom, and we'll get up to 100,000 over this mayoralty. We're building more wonderful family-sized homes as well, places with gardens, places with decent room size. And I look at the 38 post-industrial brownfield opportunity areas that we have across the city, and I see space to build hundreds of thousands, 400,000 perhaps more in our city, without getting anywhere near the green belt. And I want those homes marketed first and sold first to people from this country and people from London, and not necessarily to oligarchs from the planet Zog. Though I am very far. I can see my housing advisor, and I want to reassure you, I'm very far from Zogist. And most of my ancestors turn out to have come from Zog. So I'm generally in favour of foreign investment. But that is the challenge, to build more homes. And one way or another, we will need 1 billion. Over the next 10 years, we will need 1 billion of these bricks. So, Brick, you will not be alone, Brick from Newson. This brick will not be alone when it comes to London. And that is a lot of work. That is a lot of work for factories in the Midlands, and then there's the wainscoting, there's the pipes, there's the bathrooms, the whole caboodle. And in most cases, those businesses, of course, are not just supporting the London economy. The businesses I see around Britain are exporting around the world. And yeah, they let me out of London sometimes, folks, in the last few months, and I've been around a bit. And I've seen a Thai factory in Darwin, where they're taking on they're taking on more workers to satisfy the demand for cummerbunds in China. The cummerbund always having been an essential bit of Chinese communist apparel. I've seen a shears factory in Gloucestershire that exports camel clippers to Mongolia. I'm not making this up. And a chili factory in Wiltshire that is making unbelievable million Scoville chilies, and that is now working with the Indian government to supply weapons strength chilies from Wiltshire for crowd control and managing riots. Isn't that amazing? No, after that, I've tried that stuff. After they've tried, they'll be, believe me, Theresa, they'll be begging for water cannon after that stuff. Everywhere I go, I see new ideas in this country, I see new businesses starting up, and a new confidence. And what is the best way What's the best way to support those startups? What's the best way of giving hope, not just to kids coming onto the job market, but people in their 40s and 50s who've been hit by the recession, people who may be coming onto the job market in their 40s and 50s, like me. Is it more regulation? Is that the answer? Is it more regulation? Is it higher income taxes, as Balls wants, for anyone earning more than £26,000, one of those Labour policies that Ed Miliband mysteriously wiped from his data banks as he stood up to speak? Do you think, when you listen to them last week, do you think for one second that Labour is going to help those companies that I've talked about to grow or to take on more staff or to be more ambitious or more confident? Of course they won't. For 200 years, our party, the Conservative Party, has been a party that believes in social justice, in managing and mitigating the worst effects of the free market. We believe that you've got to go that way, but we believe the best answer to inequality is opportunity. We believe in encouraging success, not punishing it. We believe in wealth creation, not constant levelling down. And we believe that for all its defects, the free market is the best means we have yet found for satisfying the wants of humanity. And that's why all our policies are aimed at getting people into work, creating 250,000 apprenticeships, as we are doing in London, or as we would have done by the time my mail is up now, aiming, for 3 million across the country. I'm getting a nod from the Prime Minister there, 3 million across the country. And when people work hard and they get up early and they do the 24/7 jobs that make London the capital of the world, we Conservatives believe that they should be decently paid. And that's why I'm so proud of what we have done with the London Living Wage, now paid by 400... It's now paid by about 408 firms. That's a 1,200% increase on what Labour ever achieved when they were in office, putting tens of millions, almost £100 million, into the pockets of the poorest families in London. Not by compulsion, not by legislation, not by coercion, not by negotiation with Len McCluskey, but by simply showing companies that it's the right thing to do, not just for their employees, but for those companies themselves. Because, believe me, that investment in their people shows up in the bottom line, in lower HR bills, in less absenteeism, in higher productivity, loyalty, commitment. And that is the Conservative approach. Cutting taxes wherever we can. Managing our responsibilities, as we've done in London, by the way, cutting our share of the precept by 20%. Governing economically and responsibly to let people on low incomes keep more of what they earn, as this government has done. Reducing the burdens on business that employ the people that create the wealth we need. And the last thing we need is more regulation from Brussels, folks, isn't it? And in common with many other people around the EU, I want reform not just of the CAP that costs every family £400 extra per year in food costs, not just of the common fisheries policy. I want to change the whole mentality that pervades the Brussels Commission and that tells us, that tells them that they can decide how powerful our vacuum cleaners should be, a point on which I will not elaborate this morning. And there's only one leader in Europe who can deliver that reform. One man who has the experience and the respect in Europe to make the case, and then take that case to the people of this country in the in-out referendum that we have been denied for 40 years. And that man is not Salmond or Clegg or Farage, Miliband, because not one of them will give us a referendum. That man is David Cameron. The man who has the natural authority around that table in Brussels that goes with the leadership of the fastest growing economy. And that's the man who's going to lead our country into 2015 and beyond, my friends. And that's our... that's our new fisheries policy that we need. First, chuck salmon overboard. Then eat the kippers for breakfast. We will fight them on the beaches of Clacton, won't we? And we'll fight them and defeat them on the beaches of Rochester and Strood as well. And while we are on the subject of constitutional common sense, I want to end the nonsense, and I'm sure you all want to end the nonsense that allows Labour MPs to sit in Parliament and to vote on English matters when English MPs have absolutely no corresponding say over such matters in Scotland, and indeed those Scottish MPs have no say over those matters insofar as they might affect their own constituents. Folks, and only David Cameron is pledged to sort out that anomaly. My friends, I see an amazing future for this country. I was just looking at the way the London economy is developing. We now export more music to America than we import, which is incredible when you consider the relative sizes of our economy. The music, the great music trade is predominantly westward across the Atlantic, which is presumably why we have a band called One Direction. I thought there's a joke there somewhere, anyway. I don't know if you saw the film, a wonderful film with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock called Gravity, where you see they're cowering as the interstellar projectiles whang past them like a couple of pensioners sheltering from Ed Miliband's new property taxes. those asteroids, where did those asteroids come from? They didn't come from outer space. Each and every one of them manufactured in Soho. Look at the tech sector, which London is now dominant in Europe, much to the irritation, by the way, of Angela Merkel, who can see that we're taking off now in the 21st century industries that are going to matter to all Western economies. We lead in biotech, fintech, medtech, nanotech, green tech, and all types of tech. And that effect, that cluster of energy and enterprise in London has now long since spread over the last few years. You can see it all over the country. It's spreading to Birmingham, to Manchester, Leeds, every other great city, just as the canal that I ran, or rather tottered along this morning, is part of the same great interconnected body of water that flows right past my house in Islington. Fancy that. Exactly the same. We're all joined up. And that is the strength and the diversity of the London economy, shared with the rest of the UK. And it's not, by the way, just in tech and media and culture and creativity. It's also in manufacturing. I think I'm right in saying, and we are on the verge of... this is why Angela Merkel is so worried about our tech success, because we're on the verge of doing well in the old panel... In the old metal-bashing industries as well. We're on the verge of becoming, I think, the second biggest car manufacturer in Europe. Astounding thing to have achieved for this country when you consider where we were in the 1970s. And let me conclude by saying that if you go out for an evening in Las Vegas, you're lucky to go out for an evening in Las Vegas, as so many bright young English people, British people do, and have a wonderful time and you miss the last, you know, somehow or other, you can't quite, you lose your bearings somehow or other, and you wake up with a thundering hangover, as can happen in Las Vegas, and you find yourself sheltering under the awning of a bus stop. Suppose you miss the last limo and you have to catch a bus, which is possible in Las Vegas. Do you know, the chances are that bus stop will be made in London. And that bus stop I am proud to say, is very likely to have been made not just in London, but in the London borough of Hillingdon. a borough I hope very much to represent in Parliament next year. And I want to thank... I want to thank the organisers of this conference, giving quite so much time to a mere prospective parliamentary candidate for Uxbridge and South Ruislip. And as I look ahead, folks, I can see only one obstacle that we have to clear in the next few years, and that is the threat of a Labour government next year. So let us unite now. Let's get together. Let's get the whole Conservative family together and take the fight to the unrepentant, unreconstructed, semi-Marxist Miliband and balls, and their plan to take this country back to the policies that led us to disaster last time. And let's be proud of our party and what we have done. And when people doubt us and doubt our good intentions, let's explain again and again our fundamental conservative insight that it's only by encouraging and enabling wealth creation that we can hope as a nation to protect the vulnerable and the needy and deliver the social justice in which we believe. And if we can get over that simultaneous message of hope and enterprise, the real one nation message, then I have no doubt that we can win in 2015 and win big. So let's leave Ed Balls to his football practice, whatever he gets up to. Let's leave Ed Miliband to master the art of a bacon sarnie. And let's leave old Nick Clegg to get on with whatever it is that he does, which I haven't quite discovered. And let us get on. Let us Conservatives get on with our work of unleashing the talents of the people of this country and the most dynamic economy in Europe. Thank you very much for listening to me, and see you at the barricades. Thank you. Thank you.